I love Pentecost. You never know what's going to happen on Pentecost. Let's pray together. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your spirit so that we may be your church, a people with dreams and visions at work in all the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so today, as traditionally we do, we read from the book of Acts, Acts 2, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The Gospel of our Lord. It was so appropriate that it was so windy this morning. Windy days blow lots of things into my yard. Some of the things that blow into my yard are a little annoying, like paper cups and napkins and fast food wrappers. That sort of tops my annoying list. Aluminum cans used to be on that list, but they're not anymore because I can bring them to our recycling right here on the west side in the choir windows. There were shingles in my yard after the last big blow, the one that took down so many trees. Fortunately, they weren't our shingles. I'm real sure we don't have black shingles. Sometimes the wind blows wonderful things into my yard. Leaves from the neighbor's trees top that list. Now, you might think that leaves make the annoying list, but I save them and use them to mulch my strawberries in the fall. Free mulch, straight from heaven. The other day, a scissor-tailed flycatcher sheltered from the wind in my backyard. I've not seen them in cities very often, but I was sitting in my backyard with a book and had to stop and watch this beautiful little creature. He perched on the fence around my garden where I grow greens. And so I was a little bit concerned. Surely flycatchers don't eat greens. They are fly catchers. But he knew what he was doing. And very soon a little moth fluttered toward my greens. And in a movement so swift I couldn't even see it, he caught the moth and looked at me as if to say, "See, I eat the eaters." And I softly invited him back anytime. He's a very fine garden assistant. So the wind moves a lot of things around. The wind is a cosmic force of change. Anyone who has experienced a hurricane or a high plains thunderstorm knows that. The wind blows where it chooses, Jesus said, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. The wind blows, and change is inevitable. Historically, Pentecost was a major Jewish festival. I grew up, probably like you, learning that Pentecost was a Christian celebration 50 days after resurrection. Before Christianity, Pentecost was a holy day in Judaism 50 days after Passover that had been celebrated for centuries. And that is what these followers of Jesus, who grew up celebrating Pentecost from childhood, were gathering to do. Now, Pentecost celebrated the wheat harvest and the receipt of the law by Moses at Sinai, food and law, bread and insight. So those early followers of Jesus, we don't know how many, probably a rather small group, came to celebrate Pentecost together as they had most likely done the year before with Jesus. And suddenly the text tells us there was this sound of a rushing wind. Well, why wind? In Hebrew, the word for wind has three meanings. It is wind, it is breath, and it is spirit. Moving air, of course, is breath, and without breath, there is no life and no spirit. In Hebrew thought, those three ideas were inseparable. Contemporary Christians often think of Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but the more I work with this text, I think it was the first day of school for the church. The community was already forming, but it needed to learn how to be church in their place and their time. Their first subject on that Pentecost day, you might think, was language. But those early followers of the way did not instantly learn a new language. The Jesus followers, not yet known as Christians, spoke, and others in the area who had gathered with their friends to celebrate a good old-fashioned traditional Pentecost heard in their own language. The first lesson for this community of Jesus followers was to learn to speak boldly. And to me, the real miracle is this. One community spoke, and another community actually listened and heard, interpreting what they heard through a new gift of the Spirit. And that is the very definition of miracle. Pentecost was about the miracle of community, community across differences made possible through the work of the Spirit. Embracing our differences is at the heart of Pentecost. Miracle can still happen when we're open to the transformative power of divine love. In our social and political moment, we need Pentecost. Division, hatred, and pain mark our nation. Hearts must be transformed and attuned to practices of divine love. I don't need to list the issues that divide us. You're tired of the long lists of things that divide our country. But in Pentecost, we find a day of joy and hope. It's a day of joy and hope because the wind still blows. The Spirit of God still brings change. And some people are still open to the Spirit of love, and that Spirit is contagious. At Presbytery last week, we began a frank discussion about some hard issues, like racism, like why we have so much trouble understanding our own complicity as a national church and as local churches in racism and classism. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about uncomfortable things. The truth is, much is being said about it, but it's hard for us to listen. It is possible, though, for us to hear others when we open ourselves to God's Spirit who binds us to one another. The joy of Pentecost is that it gives us a vision and hope for a community made possible through the work of the Spirit. And this miracle involves being open to the shocking and surprising ways of the Spirit that empowers us to reach across our differences in order to experience radical and insurgent communities. We need to listen to Reverend William Barber, to Bishop Yvette Flounders, to Reverend Cynthia Hale, when they speak out for Black and inclusive. And let the Spirit of love interpret their speech for us. Look them up on YouTube and hold on to your hat because the wind will blow. The events of Pentecost invite us to ponder this question. Will we be vulnerable and willing to experience whole disorientation? Will we use our voices to speak words of good news that can be heard by all people, especially those who are as vulnerable as the Jews of the diaspora were under the Roman Empire, as vulnerable as countless people in our country today? Will we be open to this joy of Pentecost, the impossible gift of community now made possible through the work of the Spirit? It's said that Ferdinand and Isabella expanded their empire across the Atlantic to the New World. And during that time, a bishop brought to them a book, a grammar of the Spanish language. He explained to the queen that she should make Spanish the official language of every place that she claimed. Colonialism involved imperial control through vocabulary. At Pentecost, we see the exact opposite. A world of many tongues. We see that God affirms the native languages of all the people. Acts says, "And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. For God, there is no imperial tongue. Instead, at Pentecost, we see God affirm a diversity of tongues. The Holy Spirit speaks through all languages, and every language is holy. Pentecost invites us into a new way of engaging with difference, not just different languages, but with all the ways that we are marked as different from one another. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit speaks through the differences without converting them into sameness. In Acts, people aren't invited to give up their languages, their cultures, and convert to the same way of speaking and thinking. Pentecost offers us a different way, where the Spirit affirms our differences, speaking in ways that each one can understand, and yet drawing us together around the same table into communion. That's how the day of Pentecost ends. We read later in Acts, in verse 26, with all of these strangers eating together. So those who welcomed the message were baptized, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They broke bread from home to home and ate their food with gladness and generous hearts. At the end of the Pentecost story, those who spoke boldly also listened carefully to people from different places and invited them in. On that first day of school for the church, the community learned speakers must learn to listen and listeners must learn to speak. The wind, breath, Spirit of God blow opportunities our way, right into our churchyard. And some of them will be uncomfortable, and some of them will be challenging or difficult. Some of the things the Spirit blows our way will call us to change in important ways, to embrace the richness of other cultures, to embrace the thoughts of other thinkers, and it will bring to us new ways of being community. Some of the changes the Spirit brings to us will be cup overflowing joyous and hopeful, bringing new life to the church. And there's no room for we never did it that way before. The lessons of Pentecost are obviously too many for 1 hour, but bold proclamation of the way of Jesus and careful listening to those who are different from us are certainly primary. They are Spirit-blessed starting points for the church. So may the Spirit blow opportunity your way this day. And may the Spirit blow challenge your way this day. And may the breath of God breathe joy into your life this day and always. Amen.